Welcome to this, our third session in Creative Industries. I'm Tara Brabazon and thank you for joining me again. Now, as we suggested in our last section, where we defined those words creativity, culture and literacy, there are many definitions of the word creativity. Invariably, we can say creativity is in the eye of the beholder. How creativity is embedded in governmental policy and economic development is one of the great issues and challenges for many countries, including Australia, Aotearoa New Zealand, Canada, Singapore, Malaysia. During Tony Blair's prime ministership, as leader of the first post-industrial nation, new engines for economic growth needed to be found for the United Kingdom. Chris Smith, through the British Department of Culture, Media and Sport, developed the creative industries phrase, portfolio and agenda in 1997. Now, other nations have taken on different paths, different attitudes, different ideas from this initiative. So what I'd like us to do in our session today is to define and investigate this new model of doing culture, this new model of doing economics. So what we're going to talk about today is we'll put in place some definitions of creative industries, like I promised you. We're then looking at a very interesting phrase, living on thin air. And we finish off with a short little section introducing what are already some of the problems or issues emerging through creative industries. But before we get to the problems, let's start with some more positive ideas and agendas. Let's put in place some definitions of creative industries. At its most basic, creative industries refers to those industries such as design, tourism, sport, architecture, music, fashion, publishing, and the popular media more generally. So those who work in creative industries are not only writing about these cultural formations, but they're active as practitioners. So the phrase creative industries is meant to end that theory-practice divide or bias that's been a problem for generations of media studies and cultural studies theorists. Since 1997, creative industries has become a new way to think about art, a new way to think about cultural policy. Through the late 1990s, the phrase creative industries emerged in the United Kingdom, and it was fostered by the Blair Labour government, the first one. His goal was economic growth. His goal was also social justice and creating a new agenda, a new Labour, for a post-industrial and post-manufacturing society. The phrase creative industries is therefore a way to map and track the changes in the economy that are triggered through globalisation, digitisation, the increased rate and proportion of the population that's attended university, just like you are now, the rise of intellectual property rights and awareness of copyright, and the changing relationship between work and leisure. There is an international debate about what constitutes the creative industries, and particularly how they differ from the phrase cultural industries, and how to develop the correct strategies to initiate their potential and growth. So let's go back a little bit and put a context or a frame around creative industries. Around the globe, there's been three models that have dominated the arts, media and cultural policy. Since the 1950s, the creative arts model, promoting art for art's sake, has been the persistent view and still remains a strong determinant of policy. Essentially, this model led into the cultural industries model, which came into being in the mid-1980s and focused on national culture, with attention to museums, art, art galleries, and community arts. Now, both creative arts models and cultural industries models are grants-oriented, so they give money to groups. They're dependent on the public purse, rather than the market. So the patronage of arts comes from the government. In other words, the art deemed to be of quality is funded by the government. The rest of the cultural spectrum is pretty well ignored. The creative industries model is different. It's essentially a loans model rather than a grant model. It welcomes out the imperative of the market, that's business, but with a strong facilitative role still for government. Now, there are many different types of creative industries model that are available for determining the government's role. Okay, let's talk about some of them. Firstly, there's a university model. For instance, that exists in the London Creative Industries Centre at the University of East London in the UK. There's also a governmental model, such as Creative New Zealand. There's a state government or city council model, like Brisbane in Queensland. There's also a private non-profit making model. The best example of this private non-profit making model was the Creative Industries Development Service. That's called CIDS, Creative Industries Development Service. CIDS is interesting. It was begun in Manchester in England in the mid-1990s and is now supported by finance from the European Regional Development Fund, the Northwest Development Agency, the Manchester City Council and others. So essentially, CIDS operates to help people who are looking to set up businesses in the creative industries. Okay, so there's some definitions, there's some models. Now let's look at that interesting phrase. Do you remember? Living on thin air. Living on thin air. Charles Ledbetter, a Blair policy advisor and freelance writer, has argued that the whole economy is changing. Ledbetter has suggested that a group he terms young cultural entrepreneurs and the creative industries have come together in recent years to forge generational change and a new dynamic knowledge economy. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Ledbetter argues that living on thin air describes a knowledge-driven economy. Now, this economy is not fed by science, but sources of innovation and competitive advantage. These sources of innovation, of competition, include design, branding, and skill development. I'll say those again. Design, branding, and skill development. These factors are at work, of course, in all industries, not just software and hardware design. Agriculture and retailing, alongside fashion and the music industry, can all deploy these three strategies. So for Ledbetter, the creative, knowledge-driven economy is based on ideas and patents, not physical products. He argues that in, quote, advanced economies, they trade, write, design, talk, spin, and create. Rarely do they make anything. End of quote. It is the making of trademarks, the making of designs, that constitutes the creative industries. But of course, many writers go far beyond that definition of the creative industries. But that's the smallest, and it has much to back it up. So what I want you to recognise is that Ledbetter's definition of creative industries is not that politically neutral, and it rarely benefits the actual creators. Remember what we said in our second session? Creativity is not that important to the creative industries. It's the commercialization of creativity that's crucial. The new knowledge economy is not based around the creation of ideas, but the commodification of ideas. Now, this is my favourite bit. I'm a big fan of chocolate cake myself, and quite wonderfully, Charles Ledbetter uses a chocolate cake to explain what the creative industries are. So I'm going to quote this. So think about this. This is how he defines the creative industries. Quote, "There is no better way of conveying the economic value of knowledge transformation than to think about the home economics of food." Right on, Charles. "Think about the world as divided up into chocolate cakes and chocolate cake recipes. A chocolate cake is what economists call a rival good. If I eat it, you cannot. We are moving into an economy where the greatest value is in the recipes rather than the cakes. End of quote. So we sort of know what he's saying, but it's a shame we're losing the cakes. But he argues that the recipes can be commodified and sold over and over again. The chocolate cake can be sold only once. So what does this mean? Intellectual property rights and copyrights over fashion designs, lyrics, music, and images are where the money is made. So these are issues of law, not creativity. So while these are general principles, it is important, I think, to recognise that definitions of creative industries do change in each city, each region, each nation. Local knowledge is important to creative industries, and it develops and integrates with already existing policies. So while creative industries can be embraced in an excited, dynamic fashion as the social economic future, there are some contextual concerns to consider. Remember, we were talking about problems. This is our last stop of the day. There is a developing argument that's, I think, clearly been revealed after the events, the tragic events of September 11, that the forces of the new right, which are sometimes referred to as neoliberalism or neoconservatism, have won the big economic and social battles of our time. That means that the economy and social structures have been reconfigured in very conservative lines around the nation state, traditional gender orders, religion, ethnic and racial divides. It means through neoliberalism, market forces determine the direction, function, strengths and weaknesses of the economy. This means that the state does not intervene to correct the excesses of the capitalist economic system. Can be a problem. We'll come back to that shortly. There's no doubt, though, that the affirmation of creativity and its economic potential is timely. We're going to see how these approaches will develop in the next few years and how the more politicised media studies and creative industries will dialogue. So while some fascinating work, some really exciting work in creative industries is emerging, let's just mention a few of these problems. Now, creative industries has become a bit of a buzz phrase in education, particularly in the humanities. But as we're talking about in our next two sessions, the new economy really involves a lot of the old economy in its assumptions about work and leisure and exploitation. So at its best, the creative industries framework develops and changes according to governmental and industrial interests. Indeed, as capitalism, globalization, regionalism, social justice change, so does the creative industries. But all the talk, and there's lots of it, all the talk of a new economy can erase or displace the realization that much of the old economy, insider trading, unemployment, underemployment, recession, is really part of our present environment. The next couple of stops in our journey through creative industries try to consider with clarity and precision how we in media studies can address these economic and political challenges. So I'll talk to you next time. Cheers.